scripture reading is 1 Samuel, 22nd chapter, 1st and 2nd verse. David left and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered round him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him.
I will seek you. Our nation values freedom. It's why we have this annual celebration called Independence Day, to celebrate our declaring of independence of our nation. We, as a nation, value freedom because of that. David, I believe, did have much in common with our nation's founding fathers because they also suffered tyranny, oppression, and the consequences of tyranny to the degradation of freedoms. So they understood what that was about. So we're going to look at that, what it means, what this freedom means to us, and not just as Americans, but because we love freedom, we have much in common with all freedom-loving peoples. And that's why as a nation we are called to seek freedom not only for ourselves but for others. I think it's part of the obligations of freedom. We're going to look at some other things here about freedom in this chapter in the life of David. Now, I'm skipping verse 1 there for now. I want to kind of rearrange the order here a little bit. I think you'll understand as I do. But I want to think first with you about the problem seeking freedom. What is it that that makes us seek freedom? Well, I think sometimes the problems, certainly problems that are brought on because of a government, frankly, that has failed. I'm not saying anything about our present government. But I think in every government there are failures. Every government falls short of really what God intends a government to be. And there does come a point, I think, when, as in our nation's founding, you know a little bit about that, I'm sure, more than a little bit, I trust, about how we were under bondage, really, to another nation. Our nation's founders began to chafe under that. They sent taxes to England and didn't receive any representation there. They had no say in how those taxes were used. And so there began to be this sense of discontentment. Well, I think that it's very much like what David and his followers experienced. There was, first of all, distress, we're told about here. Those that were in distress. That word, interestingly, means to be in straits or pressed in upon. Kind of like being in that, you know, room where the walls close in upon you. You may not have actually been in a room like that, but maybe you felt like that. Maybe you felt that, you know, tightness in your chest or, you know, literally, you know, I think it can lead to heart failure. This feeling of distress that we are in today, I think many would identify with this. Many would identify with those men that bound themselves to David. Now, I don't want to suggest that every distress that we experience should lead to certainly open rebellion or anything like that. I don't think open rebellion is normally called for. But there is a time when we must recognize that these problems in our own lives, especially, may be leading us to wonder, are we truly free? Now, there's a verse in the Bible. It's found in Galatians 5:1, and it says, "For freedom, Christ has made us free." And you remember what Jesus said, I'm sure, in John 8:31-32, he said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Well, there is a one in the universe, at least, who wants to bring us into bondage, and that's the devil. And we know that. He doesn't want us to be free. He wants us to think like everybody else. And he hates this idea of freedom. I think it's why there are so many nations that are bound, frankly, by Satan. Because they have not learned, I think, the lessons that we're going to see here from the life of David. There are problems that should make us seek freedom. And I think it's right that we seek freedom not just for ourselves, but for others that are in bondage. I believe it's what made Abraham Lincoln and others stand up and oppose the slave issue during the Civil War. And there are many other issues, of course, that can bring a people into bondage. And so a distress can be a motivator, if you will. Also debt. Now we know what debt means. And we certainly have debt as a nation. We have many who are experiencing debt that they cannot repay. And many that are walking away from homes that they can no longer afford. And all of this debt burden that we all kind of share today. This is what we're told about this group that bound themselves to David, that they were in debt. And I think about also the sin debt that we all owe. The Bible says it is we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we have this sin debt that is a burden that only God can take from us. And so all of these things that I'm sharing with you, and I know they seem to be maybe about the life of David and maybe, you know, back then, doesn't really pertain to us today. No, I think it pertains exactly to us today. Because David is really in the place here, I believe, of our son of David, our greater son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. As you know, Jesus was descended from David. And whenever I read these wonderful stories about David, especially the things about David that show his heart for God, how he was a man after God's heart, I think, well, there is Jesus. Insofar as he fulfilled that. And nobody has fulfilled that perfectly except, of course, the Lord Jesus himself. But I want us to think of Jesus when we read about these things. The debt problem that we all share. Well, that is to bring us to see our need to be set free, isn't it? All of these things are problems that I believe God allows to help us to see that we need that freedom, that God has created us to be free. It is for freedom, the Bible says, that Christ has made us free. Not freedom just for ourselves, but for others. We ought to be freedom fighters in that sense. The distress, debt, discontent. Doesn't it say discontent? They were discontented. Now that word actually means bitterness. Now I've noticed as I study commentaries, as I usually do, and read what others have to say about this, that there were so many commentators that seemed to think that this was kind of a typical rebellion that David and his men had, that this was a rather ignoble bunch of rabble-rousing people that were discontented, and they were kind of like Robin Hood's band of men. I remember that show on TV. I thought Robin Hood was really cool, and his band of men, you know, all of that. Kind of a, you know, band of outlaws that supposedly do good. So we have this kind of archetypal image in our minds that may not really be true to the facts. In fact, the term, you may not have heard it, I'd never really heard it, but Adullamite is a kind of a rebel, someone who's rebelling against the established order, I guess. Maybe much like our Tea Party movement today. Some would describe these as Adullamites because they were like David and this rabble-rousing group of men that, you know, rebels that gather about him supposedly. I don't think that's true to the facts at all. Here were people who really, I think, had no recourse but to seek freedom, not just for themselves, but for their families, their loved ones, their friends, all who cherished freedom. And again, God has put that desire, I believe, in every human heart to be free. So there are problems seeking freedom here that we can learn from. There are also a place shielding freedom here. Now that place, this cave of Adullam, I've described it a little bit to you, but it's also described as a fortress or citadel. You might find that translation in the Bible. Because this was a place, first of all, that they saw it as a refuge from Saul. Saul was really wanted to kill David. Saul had one of those wanted dead or alive posters plastered on every city wall. Everywhere anyone looked, they would hear, you know, that David was an outlaw, that Saul was wanting to capture him and kill him, actually. Not only David, but all of those who would follow him. So here was a place of refuge. I think not unlike America today. Well, maybe not today, but certainly when the nation was founded, it was founded for that reason, to be a refuge, a place of freedom, a place where people could be free, a place where there would not be this heavy-handed government pressing down on them and justice being taken from people, taxation without representation. This was a cry of our early founders. It was a place like, not unlike this place in Adullam. This place, this cave, this fortress, this place where they could feel somewhat safe at least from the enemies and be free. And you might say, well, I'd never be free in a cave. I don't like bats. You know, whatever else is in those caves, it couldn't be pleasant. Well, I think it wasn't pleasant. I'm sure that they hoped and prayed that one day they would be free, truly free. But in the meantime, there was this place shielding freedom. It was a place of choice. They were like all freedom-loving people today, these followers of David. I've heard criticisms of the movements like this. I think the Tea Party movement certainly comes to mind. But all those who love freedom, who love the idea that we are not to be under subjection to a heavy-handed government that robs people of freedom and justice for all. I mean, isn't that a phrase from our Pledge of Allegiance? But this is a place that they must choose. I think much like us today, we must either choose freedom or we are going to be susceptible to bondage. And so here is a place of choice. Here is a place of justice. I'm talking about that place in Adullam, this cave, this fortress where David and his men hid, a place of justice. That word Adullam actually means justice. Isn't that interesting? They saw justice, not just for themselves, but for their nation. And I wonder, as a nation, do we really have freedom and justice for all? I don't think so. I don't know that it was ever a perfect ideal, a perfectly fulfilled ideal. But insofar as we fall short, may we, like David and his men here, long for freedom and long for a place that shields freedom, a place of choice. You know about that Statue of Liberty and how on the base of that Statue of Liberty is that a poem, I believe, by Emma Lazarus, I believe is her name. But she wrote about how that statue symbolizes our nation, beckoning people, oppressed people from around the world to come to America. I lift my lamp, it says, beside the golden door of freedom. We should cherish freedom because the Bible says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So we must choose that freedom, though. That place is a place of choice. It is a place of justice as well, liberty and justice for all. I think it's why it's so important, the choices that we make regarding judges and our Supreme Court judges. Because justice can be robbed from a people very easily. It can be just forfeited if we are not vigilant. A place of vigilance. There they could be safe, a covert, a place where a fortress, this place called Adullam, America today. I think America could be called Adullam. If there is a nation that embodies the freedoms that David and his band of those that cherished a like heart for God and for freedom could be called, I think America could be called Adullam. But it is a place of vigilance. They had to be vigilant. I showed that little doorway there. I mean, it wouldn't be hard to put somebody, just one soldier there at the door. I suppose that if an army came against them, they needed to be on the guard, didn't they? They didn't have firebombs in those days, but they might have something like it. I know they often burned an enemy out in a tower, for example. So I'm sure there were ways that an enemy could overcome them. And so it required vigilance. It requires vigilance for us as a nation. Because those freedoms can easily be gone if we are not vigilant. And you know what vigilant means. We need to be awake. We need to be looking around us. We need to be aware of those enemies of freedom so that we can ward them off. So there are problems here. Problems seeking freedom. A place shielding freedom. But thirdly, there is a person securing freedom. Now I'm thinking mainly here, or at least in the scripture before us here, of David. But I'm really thinking about David as a type of Christ. You may have heard that expression before, that there are individuals in the Old Testament that are types of Christ, that are lessons to us of what Christ will do for us. Well, I think David is like Jesus here. He is the person seeking freedom. Jesus is. First of all, a shepherd. David was a shepherd, wasn't he? You knew that. And Jesus is our good shepherd. He is the one who, he said, I will lead them to those green pastures, those still waters. He's the only one that can bring peace to our troubled heart and soul. And certainly he's the only one who will give us freedom. Now you say, well, those sheep aren't really free. They got to do what the shepherd wants. I don't think that there's any freedom in that sense, that we're free to do just whatever, you know, might come into our minds. We're not free, for example, to jump off the top of the building and do a belly flop on the sidewalk and get up and walk away. I mean, we're free within limits. The Bible says that to whom we yield ourselves servants to obey, you are that servant, a servant of that master to whom you obey. And you can either be a servant of sin or you can be a servant of Christ. I think there's only two kinds of people in this world, either a servant to sin or a servant to Christ. But he is that good shepherd. He loves you. He wants to lead you beside those still waters, and he wants to restore your soul. As that beautiful psalm that David wrote in Psalm 23 tells us, He'll do all of that and more for you. He'll take care of your needs. He'll supply your needs, because the Bible says He will, my God, will supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So He's a shepherd. He's a sovereign. Sovereign means a king. And of course, David became king not only over Israel or over Judah, but over all of Israel. But the Bible says that there is one coming who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He came once, of course, and He was rejected, and He died on an old rugged cross. And over His head was the plaque written by Pilate himself that said, "This is the King of the Jews." Well, Pilate didn't know it, but He's not just the King of the Jews. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And would you yield your life to Him if you have not? Because there is really no freedom apart from this one who said, "If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." So there's a sovereign here that we can learn from. There's a Savior. The world is looking for a Savior, but the wrong kind of Savior. But Jesus is that only true Savior that can bring true freedom. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Do you long to be free? Then turn your eyes upon Jesus. He'll lead you in those paths of freedom, not just for yourself, but for others, for our nation. Pray for our nation. May God help us to be that nation that He has called us to be, a nation that loves and cherishes freedom not only for ourselves, but for all peoples everywhere.